comes from the Book of Psalms, which we could call the Jewish hymn book. That's in fact what it was. It's a collection of sacred songs then through the ages, collected together and put together, and this book was formed. Another fact is that in the Hebrew scripture, the Book of Psalms is split into five sub-books, which some commentators say reflects the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And you may have noticed in your Bible there's a heading which says, Book 2, Psalm 42 to 72. You see, we're in Book 2. Incidentally, I wonder if the Jews of old argued about what could be in this book. What could be in this book and what shouldn't be. I want to see this one. It's a little bit too modern, this one, a bit too goey for my liking. Not like the old ones, not like the ones we always used to sing. Never. All by sermon. There is some debate, there's some disagreement about who actually wrote Psalm 42, but I go along with the reasoning that it was King David, after he lost his crown. I don't know if you know the story, but he lost his crown. He was being pursued by his own son, Absalom. It was a time when everything around David seemed to be falling apart. At the time of writing this song, David was on Mount Hermon, or Hermon, depends on how you want to pronounce it. And for those of you who are a little bit shaky, possibly on the geography of Israel, Jerusalem, and we have Lake Israel. At the top, north, you've got Mount Hermon, and at the bottom, you've got Jerusalem. So there are really two ends of the kingdom. Here was David, he was sat on Mount Hermon. And at the time, David felt rejected. David felt lonely. David felt far from God. Know how David longed to know the presence of the Lord, longed to have fellowship with the Lord, longed to be in Jerusalem, the very place where sacrifices were offered to God. I'm the same at our times, but this tells me the case with us. There can be times when we feel rejected, when we feel lonely, when we feel far from God. And I thank God there's very few people who know his life being hunted down by their own son. To be falsely accused of being a traitor, your very son trying to kill you. But this was the case with David. But whilst we might not experience such dramatic things as that, nonetheless, our pilgrimage through life is not always easy. And don't believe anybody who tell you, come to Jesus, everything will be okay. You live in health, wealth, and happiness. That's not the gospel that I read when I read the Bible. Jesus never promised such things. In fact, if you read the gospels, you find he said the opposite. In the Gospel of John, John 16, Jesus says, in this world, you will have troubles. But Jesus did promise one thing. He promised to be with us as we encounter or as we go through such times. And yes, we may have our own personal crises, and we may feel the same as David felt. And yes, there are times, if I may be so brutally honest, that the cloud around us can be so thick that troubles have completely enveloped us, that the enemy is having such a field day with us, that we too feel what they have felt. We too feel that even our God has deserted us. We too have times of doubt. Not doubting the existence of God, not doubting his existence at all. It feels like even God has deserted us. The scripture tells us, David calls out, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? Can you picture what David was saying here? In the middle of the wilderness, in the middle of the summer, all the brooks have dried to nothing, no water anywhere. The deer pawing up the baked riverbed, trying to find just a mouthful of water. That thing David felt spiritually. And this picture of being thirsty for God is not uncommon amongst the Psalms. For example, Psalm 63, the psalmist calls out, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there's no water. We get a similar sentiment in Psalm 84. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. You see, that's the way in which David described his feelings about the situation to which he'd fallen. And the question I want to ask you this morning, is there anybody here who feels like David felt? Maybe not to such an extreme, but they still feel they got all these troubles on their shoulders. And God doesn't seem to be anywhere in all this. Way which David felt from God. Do you remember a time when you used to look forward with such joy in your spirit? When you look forward to worshiping God, when you look forward to meeting with your brothers and sisters, when coming to church was a joy, but now has become at best a routine? Has such things lost its sparkle? Well, verse 4 of our reading says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the mighty protection, under the protection of the mighty one, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Are these things for you just a distant memory? If that's the case, I must commend you for coming here, listening to scripture and singing songs. So it's probably a bit of a battle for you to get here. But praise God, you're here and you're faithful. If that's you this morning, then pant for the living God as the deer pants for water. We've already heard this morning about Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He had this pearl of wisdom to say, the next best thing to living in the light of the Lord's love is to be unhappy until you have it and to pant hourly after it. Repeat that. The next best thing to living in the light of the Lord's love is to be unhappy till we have it and to pant hourly. So are you panting for God this morning? Don't settle for any alternative, any fake. Be unhappy till you know God's love. And if you like that, God in due time will reward you. And he will come and he will fill you up. He will quench that thirst. You only have to think of the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in John chapter 7, when Jesus stood up with his 7 or 8 voice. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Of course, it's the psalmist who's using allegory when he talked about his soul panting like the deer panting after water. So was Christ using allegory when he said, you must come to me and drink. You see, Jesus Christ was talking about receiving spiritual nourishment. He was saying that he is the source of spiritual life. If Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, note we must be thirsty to receive. A present desire, a vague want, is no good. What is required is an intense thirsting. He says, come to me and drink. And we must go to Jesus and no other. For there's no other who can satisfy our spiritual thirst. We must do exactly what Jesus says we must drink it. We must take the full measure. We must gulp it down. And the water that Jesus gives us is the same water that runs in the river of life, as we read of in Revelation 22. It says, the angel showed me the water of the river of life, sparkling like crystal, coming from the throne of God and the Lamb of God. You see, this living water that Christ has to offer comes from the very throne of God. But when we are in a state of thirst, when there appears to be a great gulf between our spirit and the Holy Spirit, and the devil does his utmost to bring about a total cleavage. When we're down, the devil sees a crack, and he's there immediately with a wedge, and he hits that wedge time and time again with his hammer. When we are like that, it seems that every blow goes down to our very soul. You notice how when we are spiritually dry, the devil turns up the heat? Yes, the devil does bother us when we're soaring high with God, when everything in the garden is rosy. But when we are down, when we are in the pit, then we are the most vulnerable, and the devil attacks us more. And the attacks come in many guises, but usually in the form of opposition from other people. Look at verse 3 of our reading. My tears have been my food day and night. What people say to me all day long, where is your God? Yes, the mockers will come. Your non-Christian friends, even non-Christian members of your family, will turn against you. They criticize your faith. They criticize the church. They say, you've been brainwashed. I'll tell you what, they really think you've lost your marbles when you spend a week of your valuable holiday in a Christian retreat. And the emotional pain of all this will be just as great as any physical pain. Verse 10, my bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me all day long, saying, where is your God? And it feels as if you are to sink and to never rise again. David summed it up as he looked at the waterfall cascading down Mount Hermon. And with verse 7, deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfall, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. And the big problem is, a lot of time, we look for a source of comfort from within ourselves. We try self-contemplation instead of gazing upon God. Therapy. I'm not against therapy. But we look to therapy as the sole source instead of gazing towards God. In other words, we look for comfort where comfort never be found. Well, first, it is impossible to derive consolation for our own feelings, because our feelings change according to our circumstances. Nor can we gain comfort from our own acts, because in our low state, or a state of despondency, we cannot judge them correctly. And we lose time in remorse, self-pity. We tell you, God alone is our only hope. So let me repeat the question. Are you here today in such a state? Well, let me tell you, if you are in such a state, if in your spiritual barrenness you feel the devil pressing in from every side, just take time to meditate upon Scripture, and you will find that you are in good company. For what you are feeling now, Christ also felt. Indeed, he felt even worse. Remember Christ's darkest moment when insults were hurled at him when he was upon the cross. Matthew records people saying, "You're going to tear down the temple and build it up again in 3 days. Save yourself if you are God's son. Come down from the cross." But people really said to Christ, "Where is your God?" Luke records when the criminals turning to him, hanging there, insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. What the criminal was really saying was, where is your God? Jesus cried out in a low voice, "Lower, lower, lower, lower." Which was, my God, why have you forsaken me? See what I mean? Christ felt it deeper than anybody else. And note that Christ used the personal possessive pronoun, "my God." Even at the very height of desolation and agony, Christ did not doubt God. He said, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, there are several ways to disarm the enemy, to even bring about his downfall. And the psalmist tells us how to do just that. They all amount to the same thing. First, we need to recognize the poor spiritual state in which we are. The experts will tell us that to free anybody from addiction, they need to recognize that they are addicted to whatever they're addicted. That's the starting point. And the starting point be released from despondency and depression is to realize that we are in a state of spiritual barrenness, and it becomes so much easier to deal with the situation, and then we can look at it in a somewhat objective manner. Verse 5, David looks at himself and says, "My son, why are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my God and my Saviour." Did you notice the determination of David, who was going through this dry and barren land? David said, "I will praise him." It's not, "No, I think I better go to church on Sunday. Oh, I'm not doing anything special. I'll just pop along." This is not, "Oh, I think I'll read my Bible tonight. I haven't read it for a few days. I better read a survival passage." No, this is a definite statement. "I will praise the Lord." You see, this whole thing, praise and worship, is above our emotions. It's above our feelings. It's above our situation. This is a decisive act that says, "I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what my emotions are trying to dictate to me. I don't care what I'm going through. I don't care what the world has to say. I will praise the Lord." a devil, you can scream and shout, you can jump up and down as much as you like, you can hit that wedge square on as many times as you like. You can make my bones suffer mortal agony, but I will praise the Lord. Remember the great words of great men in the Bible, which is the book of Joshua 24. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. See that definite statement? Psalm 55. But as for me, I will trust in you. Definite, I will. Prophet Micah. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. You see, praising God is a good remedy to depression. I'm going to give you a personal testimony. Forgive me if I told you before. For those of you who know the road from Southwick to North Bradley, just before you come to the Baptist Chapel, you know that it goes to the right. And straight on is a bridle path. I used to have allotments just by the bridle path. And when I was digging my allotment, there was a tremendous crash, tremendous thunder. I rushed out to see what happened. A car towing the horse box was going around the bend, and the horse box became detached. That rolled and bounced up the lane where a little girl was playing. And it hit her on the head and bounced over. Me, being a first aider at the time, was there administering first aid to her. When the ambulance came, the ambulance crew was concerned she had hurt her neck, damaged her neck, so they put her on a special board. One had her feet, one had her body, and they said to me, would I mind keeping her head in the same position? So I held her head, picked her up and put her down, and when I put it down, put my hands away. My hands were covered in blood. As you can imagine, I was sent down in my emotions. I went home and I told my wife about it. She made me a cup of tea. And my wife, wise lady, she said to me, there's a church meeting tonight. You're going, aren't you? I can't go, I'm feeling like this, don't you tell me. So I went to this church meeting, and before the meeting started, Mark Padfield, some of you know Mark Padfield, stood up with his guitar, and he said, let's sing some choruses. And he played a Banksy chorus, typical sort of thing he does. I couldn't sing. I just sat down. He picked the second chorus. And I thought to myself, I'll read the words, if nothing else. I'll read the words. He picked the third chorus. And I decided I will stand up and praise God. And as I did, everything just left me. My spirit knew aliveness. Yes, I still have concern for the girl, of course. I still feel like that. But I knew that God was in charge. See what I mean about having a definite attitude of, I will praise God despite what's all around me. In the book of Acts, we read of Paul and Silas in stocks, back bleeding. Did they complain? Did they say, well, come on, God, what are you playing at? You sent an angel to get Peter out of jail. Why are you leaving us here? Scripture tells us about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And other prisoners were listening to them. So how are you this day? Are you soaring high with God? Do you feel that this message is not for you? If that's the case, praise God. But take this psalm, take these words of mine and meditate upon them. Store them in your memory. Because you never know when things are going to change. You never know when your circumstances will be such that you're drowned in the pit. And recall these words. Recall the song. But let me address anybody here today who's feeling that they are distant from God, say communing with God is lost. Let me finish by reiterating what you have to do. You must thirst for God as you've never thirsted for anything else in your life. You are to come to Jesus, the only source of living water, and you are to drink freely. Open your Bible and read it while asking God to show you truths in your Bible, to speak to you. Stand your ground against the attacks of the enemy and have a determination to praise God in spite of your earthly circumstances. May the grace of God come to you and draw you close to Him and make you aware of His presence. Amen.
Okay.